You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on September 25th, 2024, and is titled National Prayer. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Ezra, and let's join Steve and the message.
Well, tonight will be a good time to show up. We're going to get the Murphs up here to sing in just a minute. How many of y'all listened to a little Coffee with the Colonel this morning? Anybody? Well, I'll tell you what that was all about tonight. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to talk about it from now till the 23rd of October. And you guys are guilty by association. I don't know how this works. I don't have any idea. I don't know. I've been waiting for a long time for bigger ministries and bigger personalities and people with more resources and more talent, more knowledge to step up to the plate. But our nation has a biblical pattern, a biblical pattern of our nation from before George Washington. But it really begins to get documented in all the writings of George Washington, all the way up through Jefferson and Adams, Abraham Lincoln especially. Proclamations made, setting aside days for prayer, fasting, and humiliation. You know the only word in that I've had rebuttal over in the last 3 weeks? Humiliation. It's just not positive thinking, that word right there, humiliation. What that word actually means is that I truly submit myself to a higher being, and I humble myself before that being. For those of us as Christians, we know who that is. You know, if you get in the right 12-step program, they'll tell you you can make a doorknob a higher being as long as you've got something above yourself. You can get down and talk to the doorknob. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ is the only true supreme being. He's the author and perfecter of all things. And humiliation simply means that I will examine myself according to Him. Examine myself according to Him. It's time for America to fast and pray, to look at ourselves as a nation, but first of all, look at ourselves as individuals. The crazy part in all this is there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle. For some reason, God's allowed me to have a glimpse. Well, more than a glimpse. And I feel like I get it. And I'm ready to share it. And ready to do whatever God calls me to do. So this has been stirring up now for a while. And I've just kind of played along. Because I'll just be real honest to you guys, because y'all are all the best friends I got. So I just get tired of feeling foolish sometimes. So when you announce to the whole world that you'd like to ride around and pick up with Donald Trump, I wasn't joking. I want to ride around and pick up with Donald Trump. And leading up to October 23rd, it would behoove him to know exactly what's going on. And right now, I'm the only guy who knows exactly what's going on. In that part, that's just the truth. What's going on in this situation and what's going to happen in our nation. And so when you wake up in the middle of the night and you know that today's the day you're going to tell the whole world that you, a cow sale auctioneer in Bailey County, Texas, is going to tell the whole United States of America that we're going to come together and we're going to fast and pray and have a day of humiliation on the 23rd of October. This is going to be, I declare, a national day of prayer, fasting, and humiliation for the whole United States of America. That's the stupidest sounding thing I've ever heard in my life. How does that happen? So I put it out there this morning. And since that time, I've talked to a couple congressmen. I've talked to David Barton. I've talked to half a dozen preachers. Half of them called me. I didn't call them. The door flew open, and this puppy's rolling. This boat will float, and there's plenty of air in the sail. Y'all are guilty by association, because here in a short period of time, I'm going to be a national weirdo. I've been a local weirdo for a long time. But here in a minute, I'm going to be a national weirdo. But we're going to follow the pattern of some men I've been studying who followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. They weren't very good at following the pattern of religion, but they were good at fighting wars. And they were brave. And they were tireless. And when you knocked one of them down, they got back up. But they had this unwavering trust in Almighty God. And so they would proclaim for our nation days to just stop, fast, pray, self-reflect, change, invoke the power of God, the assistance of the Almighty, in whatever battle was standing in our face, whatever calling had landed on one of them's heart, whatever danger was in front of them. They knew that there was something in their belly that they couldn't turn loose of. And it was freedom for me and you. Freedom to raise our family, educate our kids. It's what it says in the Mayflower Compact. Freedom to worship the Lord Jesus Christ anytime, anywhere, however you wish. Every man, woman, and child in America is now free to worship any god or doorknob of your choosing. But only the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ makes any kind of ripple in the water, makes any kind of everlasting mark. It's the only thing that'll move mountains. It's the only thing that'll part the waters. He's the only God that can thwart the fiery darts of the enemy. He's the only God that can cover you with his wing, that even in the toughest of days and most dangerous of times, you will have the protective assistance of Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. And there's only one way that happens. It's not confusing. There's one way that happens. Unwavering, consistent, never failing love and commitment to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I taught yesterday morning the truth about salvation. You'll realize the fullness of your salvation on the day you depart from this earth. And until then, you're simply in covenant with God. This idea of I'm saved and going to heaven, but I'm going to live like a bump on a hump until it happens. Somebody lied to you. You are now a child of the living God who owns everything. The earth is the Lord's, according to Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it in all his fullness. And now, as a co-heir in Christ, you're responsible for what happens in this earth. We will give an answer for the demise of Israel. We will give an answer for our complacency. In all my conversations today, there's one word that was a prevalent word. When the church was mentioned by anybody, not by me, this was not a word used by me, I heard it multiple times when it came to addressing the church in America today, pathetic. We went from apathetic to pathetic. David Barton himself told me today, 36 million professing Christians who attend a synagogue or a temple of some kind 36 million, refuse to vote in this election. I want to know who's leading the troops. It's time to pray. It's time to repent. It's time to come back to right standing with God. I'm going to explain to you tonight why the 23rd of October. We're going to begin the process of teaching. And from this day forward until the 23rd of October, probably till the 5th of November, I will teach biblical text on this very subject and will use historical references of our founding fathers, forefathers, presidents of the United States, whatever God leads me to do. But every day there will be something to encourage you, to broaden your mind, to strengthen your thought, and to build faith. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God will be interjected into your life for all who have ears to hear and all who will listen every day except Sunday, every day. We will do this until the 23rd of October. And how this works, I have no idea. Looks impossible to me. Sitting here listening to myself, I sound like an idiot. But we're going to do it. We're doing it. I'm drawing up a proclamation here just as soon as I can kind of get my thoughts together. And I've been blowing my wife's on board, my two daughters, they're in the game. Karen, my secretary, she's going to help me with the proclamation. I got to get a proclamation because as soon as it's written, it's going to the Speaker of the House. That happened before lunch today. So, if God will just keep cracking them doors, I'm going to keep bulldogging through them now. We're just going to keep doing. And I thank God for each and every one of you and the ones on the other side of that camera. The ones in America who are going to stand up, we're going to invoke the presence of God, the assistance of the Almighty, and we're going to save our nation for the generations to come. And God is going to make a pathway for His man, His man. You see, each team, one team has a man, the other team has a woman. But God has a pathway for that man to the White House. And He's the pathway for freedom. And He's the pathway. I've explained that to you letter by letter, line by line. That's how it is. And so, 23rd of October, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to have a big meeting here. We'll have a meeting here. It's funny, everything lands on a Wednesday this year. All them godly coincidences, you know. So here we are. So we're going to do that, but hopefully from coast to coast and across the globe, people will be praying, fasting, denying ourselves, reflecting on ourselves, mostly our religion. Our religion has been quite the hindrance. So anyhow, that's all I got to say about that for now. We'll turn the Murph loose up here. I'm going to pray right quick and we'll get to going. Lord Jesus, we thank you for every unction, every direction, every jot, every tittle of your word. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, the presence of your kingdom, the reality of who you are. Lord, our nation needs saving and we're going to call on you, God, and we begin the process today. Process today of renewing our minds, dying to ourselves, repenting of our sin, becoming a new creation in you, Christ Jesus, and becoming a new nation in you, Christ Jesus. I continue to pray for Donald J. Trump. I thank you for your protective hand that's on him. I pray for the voices that speak to his ears, and I pray, God, that his heart is fertile soil for your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that he'll follow the pathway that you led George Washington down and the one you led Abraham Lincoln down, that he would stand back strong in the fight, but yet be a man who would unify this country through the word of God and the power of your spirit. I pray for him, Jesus, that he will rise to the occasion and be the man you've called him them to be. I continue to pray, Jesus, for 435 members of our Congress, that revival will sweep through that house just as it swept through our land in 1740. I'm praying for the next awakening, God, to happen in the next 40 days, Lord, that we would see revival, an awakening, a realization of who you are, Jesus, amongst families, men and women, individuals, that the institutions of men would repent of their evil ways, including our religion, these houses, Lord, of religion, that we'd repent of our ways and that we would turn to you, God, and we would begin to be promoters of the generations and the promise and the promoters of freedom. So, Lord, that's my prayer and that's my daily declaration. And wherever you can use any one of us, Lord Jesus, to make this happen, in the spirit of Isaiah, I say, hear my Lord. Send me. So, Lord, tonight use this time to educate, equip, empower, and direct. By the power of your Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, amen.
Jehoshaphat did it. David did it. Before the battle, he sent the singers in. And so we're fixing to go into a battle. I think in the next 40 days, there's going to be a battle. We've been in a battle. So if you want to participate in the battle biblically, we're going to do it by singing. And that's because that's the way they did it. And so if you want to participate, I'd ask you to stand up right now.
I want to encourage you a little bit. When the Murphs get done singing, take every word they sing to heart, because I know that it is strictly led by the Holy Spirit when they come with these songs, and a couple songs every time. And I want you to picture yourself in a time of preparation. From here on out, you're being prepared. Just like when he talked about Jehoshaphat. Listen, the bad guys were on the other side of the hill. When telling that story about Jehoshaphat, bad guys on the other side of the hill, they got them outnumbered by a pretty good pile. There's a good old country butt-whipping fixing to happen. And Jehoshaphat and the boys are going to be on the receiving end of it. They're pretty sure. I'll just put it in layman's terms where you can remember the story. And Jehoshaphat tells me, he said, bring in the band. Bring in the stringed instruments. Bring them in. Bring them in. We're going to praise the Lord. And on the other side of the hill, in the midst of that praise, God took care of the enemies of Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. Okay? When we sing in praise today, no longer do I want you just to endure the songs like you're going to church. You get prepared for what God is calling you to do. You get prepared for what's coming. You get energized. You get excited. Get empowered. Let's be a group of Christians who run to the fire. We're not afraid of the lion's den. We're not afraid of the king's orders. We're not afraid of what the enemies say about us. We stand strong in Christ because all I have is you. But not only all I have is you, Jesus, I got a job to do while I'm here. Today in the book of Ezra, I've got my Founder's Bible open. Listen, if you don't have a Founder's Bible, you need to get one, Wall Builders. And if you can't afford one, you let me know. We'll figure out how to get you one. And we're getting on another big campaign. I talked to David Barton this morning for a long time about a lot of stuff. And, you know, there's some things going on across our country, state of Oklahoma, state of Louisiana, opening up for the Bible to be taught in their schools. Mule Shoe Fellowship is going to participate in some of that when the right venue comes. We've talked to a couple politicians, and we know kind of how the pathway needs to work. There's a pathway for everything. We're going to participate. There's no need in giving everybody a Founder's Bible if you hadn't read one yourself. I believe it's the most important book in America today is Founder's Bible. It's the Word of God in the history of your country according to Jesus Christ. So, in the book of Ezra, in chapter 7, and then we're going to lead up in chapter 8. But it's about when the Israelites had been exiled to Babylon. And so now that they're going to get to bring them back, and the priest is Ezra. Ezra plays a lot of parts in the Bible in the restoration of Israel. If you read the book of Nehemiah, different places, you'll find Ezra playing a part as a high priest. And the king at the time was Xerxes, is how I say it. And so Xerxes kind of went along with the program. And so he's going to let them go back. And I want to establish one thing before I go to reading through the book of Ezra. Why do the Israelites, every time they wander off or get captured, everything's about the return to the land? Why is that? Why is that? Come on, we've talked about it around here for 15 years. The promise. Everything is based on the promise. The promise made to Abraham that says, I'm going to give you a place to live so you can raise your family and the generations will carry on here. He established it again in Paul's dissertation in Acts 17, where he tells a group of philosophers around there that, hey, this unknown God, he's the one that created heaven and earth and all things, and he ordained and predestined their times and originations, their nations with borders for particular times for men to dwell, grope, and find the Lord. Amen. Here. So again, Israel is headed back to the promise. Every one of us who grew up in modern day Christianity, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our promise is heaven after we die. But the promise of your responsibility is earth while you're here. That's the promise of your responsibility. So when it comes to judgment, we told you, well, you was going to answer for every naughty word you said or every cigarette you smoked or every can of beer you drank. So quit it. What about your apathy? What about our complacency when it comes to the calling on our life as engrafted Gentiles to the salvation of the Jews? Have we as the church inquired of the Lord our place in this? Because when you remove the United States of America from the scene, how's that work? Oh, we'll send China. Boy, they'll do a good job of evangelizing, sharing with the Israelites that Jesus Christ is truly the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Yeah, send one of them communist Chinese in there and see how that works. Who are you going to send? America doesn't want to fool with this, so let's pick somebody. Which one would y'all pick? If we was going to take a vote on which, y'all want to send Canada? Why don't you just send Trudeau himself? I think him and Francis are getting along good. Who are you going to send? I want to know the last time that you heard a preacher stand up here and talk about this. You see, this is why I got to volunteer for the cause. Because the Israelites are on their land. And we're on ours. And there's a God who expects us. He expects us to do our part. And in America today, we can't even explain Passover to our neighbor. How are you going to use the only tool that's available to bring Israelites to a true knowledge of salvation of Jesus Christ is the Passover. That's why October 23rd is the day. That's the last day of the Feast of Booths, Sukkot. It begins on October the 16th at dusk. It ends on October the 23rd at dusk, Wednesday to Wednesday. For those of you that don't know, the Feast of Booths simply replicates the time that the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years in their temporary dwellings. So now, during that time, They put up temporary shelters in their backyards in different places, and they commemorate that time to remember that time for generational purpose. They remember that time when they were delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh, where they passed through the Red Sea, and then they were supplied by God for the next 40 years in a temporary dwelling. It is a direct replication of Jesus Christ, who put on your clothes and my clothes for a very short period of time. 33 and a half years is the only time he ever looked like me, and he came to this earth as a human, to be a perfect human, to die a perfect death for an imperfect people, so that he could rule a kingdom that has now been exposed in the earth from the foot of my feet to the farthest place in heaven. He has filled the universe with the power of his Holy Spirit and the presence of who he is. If you don't think God ain't all over me and all over this, I'm telling you, this is crazy. He's the Passover lamb. It's him. Jesus Christ is our Passover. According to 1 Corinthians 5, Paul wrote it himself, Jesus. So a group of people across the water who have been God's people from the very beginning, he's had his eye on them the whole time.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.